Welcome to Marketing Like a Mother, a podcast made for mompreneurs by mompreneurs. Each week we're diving into mom-approved business and marketing strategies to help you grow a profitable and family-friendly business. Today I'm your co-host Michelle Fauvert.
And I'm Olivia Radcliffe.
And today we thought we'd just go down a rabbit hole. I don't know if we even have a true theme to this episode other than I've been on my soapbox kind of talking through something with Olivia, and I was like, this needs to be a podcast episode. And it's something that keeps coming up in the online business world that we swim in, pond, and something that I keep seeing. And basically what's been going on is I think there is this big uptick in people talking about being neurodivergent, neurospicy, which is amazing. I am so grateful that people are openly talking about that experience. It's been so helpful to me. But people are starting to use it more and more in their marketing messages. And there have been a couple of instances where I've had that kind of hit a bit funny. Not that there's anything wrong with marketing to us neurodivergent folk, but when the person who is using that as like a marketing tool maybe doesn't have that lived experience, doesn't have that much knowledge or background, make some assumptions, make some stereotypes about certain lived experiences as a neurodivergent person, and kind of uses that as a blanket way to talk to us as a group, can feel kind of weird. I feel like I'm being really cryptic. Basically, I feel like a lot of times people are using the terms neurodivergent, neurospicy as a synonym for ADHD. And ADHD is definitely a neurodivergence. It's a different brain type. But it's not the only one. You know, Olivia and I share a lot of alphabet soup that isn't ADHD. Actually, neither of us have got ADHD diagnoses. We've got most of the other flavors covered. and that's just been kind of strange to hear people saying, you know, they really speak to neurodivergent folk. They, you know, love the neurospicy people. And then describing very ADHD specific traits about, you know, having a hard time with deadlines and structure and wanting, you know, very specific types of support that only make sense to an ADHD type of flavor of neurodivergent. And, you know, living through our lived experiences, we sort of go, hang on a sec, it sounded like you're talking to us, but actually this is not at all our lived experience. This isn't at all catered to us. And that mismatch has just been really odd to notice. So I thought it would be interesting for us to bring this to the podcast, talk a little bit more about that, and then maybe in a broader scope around marketing and using marketing messages to talk about lived experiences, particularly when they maybe aren't 100% what your lived experience is, because I think that can be kind of a tricky line to walk.
Yeah, I think there's an overarching theme there that can apply more to than just two different neurodivergencies, right?
Yeah.
You know, we all have our own experiences, our own lives, our own things we've gone through. And therefore, we have our own perspectives on how we see things. How we see the world relies very much on our experiences we've been through, what we have learned as people. And so it can get kind of complicated when you are speaking from your lived experiences about something that is not someone else's, or if you're speaking towards someone else's lived experiences, maybe that's more of what it is. You're speaking towards something someone else has done that you haven't been able to do. There are some things in life that unless you have lived it, unless it's something you have dealt with day in and day out, that you can't ever fully 100% empathize with. You can maybe sympathize with it. You can feel compassion and want to be there and support and, you know, for everybody else who is going through that. But unless you have actually had to deal with that, you don't know exactly what that's like.
I think it comes up a lot actually with the whole mom experience. There's a lot of that people who market to mothers, and a decent chunk of them have never been mothers or even parents. And it can almost feel a little bit condescending when you've got, you know, a single 20-something, you know, male talking about how difficult it is for moms breastfeeding. Hang on, I don't think you know that much about this. Why are you talking to me, A, but also B, what assumptions are you making about that lived experience? And it starts to feel a bit, stereotyping, a bit, I don't know, a bit strange and not to in any way parallel this with like actual cultural appropriation or any of that, but it does feel kind of in the vein of stealing other people's lived experiences for your own personal gains. And that just doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to be marketed that way. It doesn't feel great to see those lived experiences just put out there for monetary gain, especially by people who haven't even had those experiences themselves.
Yeah. And well, so it might be a little bit late for disclaimer, but full disclaimer, Michelle and I are doing this episode from our lived experiences, by the way. We're not claiming to be experts in neurodivergence or anything like that. We just have our experiences, what we know from our own personal research, Googling, our own lives, our own alphabet soup that we have. And if we step on any toes, please know it is not intended whatsoever. And that does come down to like when you're marketing to someone, you know, we're all told to niche down, know your niche, right? How many different courses and programs and coaches have been out there saying to create your ideal client avatar, which is not something I normally say, by the way, but that's a whole other episode we can get into later. But while you're niching down and talking to your niche, you are naturally going to exclude some people in your marketing, right? You can't talk to everybody. You can't be that blanket, completely PC. I am going to not offend anybody, because there's always someone who's going to be offended. There's always someone who's going to say, that hit me the wrong way. And that's all coming from their perspective, so to speak. But what you can do, and I think maybe we can touch on this a little bit, is just have that awareness of how you are speaking, and making sure that if you are speaking to someone else's lived experiences that you haven't personally lived, watch how you're doing that. First off, watch if you're doing that, take a moment and think, should I be doing that? But then get into it and really try to speak with sympathy and not try to take that story on as your own.
Or try and make assumptions about what that lived experience must be like if you've never had it or taken, you know, extensive lengths to figure out what that would be like. And I think, as you're saying, this can be so much broader of, you know, cultural, you know, racial backgrounds, all sorts of different experiences. We as humans can only know our own. And that is like a shortcoming of our experience, but it's also, I think, a really great invitation for us to try and get to know other people's experiences. I think that's how we grow, and that's how we, you know, build a better society. But I think when we're marketing and putting our business hats on, that sense of curiosity and openness, which is wonderful, can just, I think, come with a couple pitfalls that we need to watch out for. And that is making those assumptions, is, you know, potentially appropriating other people's experiences or cultural backgrounds. And that's really not a good look. And it's not a nice feeling. And it has the opposite effect of a lot of times what these people are intending. Going back to my like original anecdote, the thing that sparked this episode, I think a lot of people who are using the neurodivergent, neurospicy kind of terminology as a shorthand for ADHD have really great intentions. They're trying to be more accessible. They're trying to be more inclusive in their offers, but that slight clumsiness does start to feel a bit odd, a little bit uncomfortable when it isn't something they, you know, truly know, or it isn't something that they have seemingly put a lot of effort into truly understanding what those terms mean, even if it comes from a really good place.
Well, and it's especially hard when some terms start to become, I don't know, almost popular and
kind of trendy.
It's trendy to be neurospicy, or at least that's what my TikTok is telling me. I've seen a lot of people pick up the term neurospicy and start to use it because it's a thing that people are starting to accept, and they're learning about themselves and learning these things. And I think it's great that so many people are working to be inclusive like that. It's almost like, so everything has its own true meaning in itself, right? A tree is just a tree. That's all it is. But when I go and look at a specific tree, it might mean something very different for me because maybe I grew up playing around that tree. I have memories of summers sitting under it. There's certain experiences I have that make me feel very differently about that tree. But Michelle, if you came and I showed you this tree at the top of this tree where I grew up, you would see it as just a tree or maybe not even notice it at all, right? Yeah. You wouldn't have those emotional attachments to it. And I think that's something that sometimes people forget to pay attention to with their marketing and sales, is that you are coming at this from your perspective, and to realize that other people have completely different perspectives and may not even think about that thing you're talking about at all.
Yeah, I think, I mean, not to have a home on the neurodivergent piece, but that's what's on my mind. That's what Spath is. I think there is a sensitivity to those diagnoses, those labels that can be quite complicated. You know, I think even if you proudly and loudly share your diagnoses, doesn't mean that those weren't hard won like processes to get that diagnosis. It wasn't hard to get to that self-acceptance place. It doesn't mean everyone in your life gives you that, you know, self-acceptance or acceptance of your lived experience. And as someone kind of still in the trenches struggling with a lot of those things, I don't share all my labels publicly because it doesn't feel very safe still. Mm-hmm. And to see that being thrown around in marketing, maybe in more general sense, it is very odd and very off-putting when it's something in my lived experience has been very tumultuous, very stressful, very trying. And even I've shared previously, my dyslexia sort of side of my alphabet soup, even that has pretty negative connotations culturally. It's not something people think is cute. I think it's wonderful that more and more people are finding, you know, ADHD diagnoses and finding, you know, a lot of the other flavors and coming to it with almost a more neutral sort of feeling behind those words, behind those labels, because they are becoming more normalized and almost starting to be seen as a positive, because I do think the different ways our brains work is a positive. That doesn't mean it doesn't come with a big chunk of challenge too. And no one is trying to say how cute it is when you know, misspell things and you can't read out loud. Like, it's not cute. It's a challenging lived experience. And, you know, a lot of these can even be, you know, disabling experiences. So I think it is very short-sighted to not sort of see that these cutesy terms like neurospicy can have a lot of weight, can have a lot of, you know, trauma, I want to say, behind them, and to just tread lightly. Again, I think this can go way broader than just the neurodivergent sort of conversation, but I definitely think we need to be careful with each other, especially when we aren't talking to our own, you know, group, our own people, when we're trying to step outside of our lived experience. That's where we need to be most thoughtful, most considered, because we don't know what landmines we could be walking in. We don't know what triggers there might be, and, you know, what can be a wonderful experience for some can be a really, really challenging experience for others. And we don't want to accidentally push away the very people we're trying to help with our offers with sort of mishandled marketing messaging.
Mm-hmm. No, I think those are really, really good points to keep in mind. I'm curious, because you're my brains, though we are both neurospicy, to take the cutesy term. Our brains still work differently. So I'm wondering, how do you go about your marketing in kind of taking all of these things in mind with your specific niche and who you're talking to? How do you keep this in mind?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. It's something I'm very much in the trenches as I'm figuring out more and understanding my brain better. Starting to share a little bit more of those things that I guess I had taken as assumptions about either other people or myself, and starting to really try and share those a bit more openly. And even calling out, you know, hey, this is something that has been my experience in a marketing story or speaking to an experience, but that doesn't mean it necessarily is going to make, you know, sense for everybody else. I think it's always been flavored by just a sense of difference. It took me a lot longer to figure out why I was different, but also I've lived a very non-traditional lifestyle, and I've I'm used to being the odd one out in like life. Mm-hmm. I've been an expat my entire adult life. I've moved like more times than I can count. I'm used to being the stranger in the room. And I think there is just a muscle memory to being careful and maybe a little bit reserved in sharing too much specificity because I'm so used to being the odd one out. So as much as I'm trying to share more, I know I personally keep quite a lot close to the chest and I don't go that deep in my specifics because I am still very scared of all of that and very conditioned to not show my full hand. So it's something I'm still working through. I may never be, I will definitely not be one of those like influencers who share their whole lives. That's just not me. But I'll probably never be sharing like the true ins and outs of what's going on in my life, in my day, in my brain, because that's something I don't even share very well with my family. So I think a lot of it does stay a little more surface, a little bit more general, and potentially, you know, it is to my detriment, but it is something I'm actively trying to work on in just sharing my stories and my experience. And inviting like, hey, if that sounds familiar, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to connect. Maybe this is going to be a good fit for you too. But I'm so scared of misstepping in those spaces that I think probably I need to open up more. I feel like I'm on the other side. Mm-hmm. Like I'm too scared. I'm too tentative to share. But I think I always admire how much you do openly share and do invite people into your world. So let me turn that question around on you.
No, I mean, it is something that I struggled with a lot years ago for starting my business. I had a lot of visibility issues, a lot of wounds around being able to be seen and accepted as myself and who I am. And so it was really hard for me to be able to jump on and just do a Facebook post or email someone without thinking through 5 million different ways of how are they going to interpret that one word? Are they going to be offended by that one phrase? If I end the email with sincerely instead of best wishes, what does that mean? How are they going to take it? And so it was something that I very much had to work through, had to heal those wounds of, you know, it is okay for me to be me and who I am and share from my own experiences and kind of give that space for people to decide if they want to stick around and hear about them or not. And I think that's the difference though, between some of the marketing we've seen that kind of talks towards this neurospacey neurodivergent world, but they're not necessarily living in it. Mm. I make a point that I am sharing from my experiences, my perspective. If that happens to be something that resonates with you or you've had a similar experience or have a similar perspective on things, then please come, let's chat. Let's go commiserate. We'll get jackets. We'll have a club or something. Like, let's do this. But you know, a lot of my experiences are not the general consensus, you know, with things. I, you know, share a lot about being a solo mom and, you know, doing a lot of things independently. And that's something that not other people can't necessarily identify with and maybe get a little offended with sometimes. And I do, to your point though, I do walk a line between sharing everything about my life and, you know, all the little things, but also wanting to show where I've come from and where I'm going, because I do know that there are other people out there who are walking kind of a similar journey, if not the exact same. You know, there are some similar things, and we can help each other. We can support each other. And by openly talking about some of these perspectives and stories, we can help help eliminate some of the stigmas associated to some of these things, right?
Yeah. But yeah, and I'm so grateful that there are people out there who do share much more openly than I do. I think that's how a lot of us feel less alone, feel validated in your experience. I think it can just be, yeah, your own personal journey of where you feel comfortable sharing those pieces, how much it really makes sense to your business. You know, I think a lot of it does depend too on the type of marketing you're doing. Like if you're trying to sell used cars, probably talking about like a challenging breastfeeding experience in your marketing, it's a bit of a stretch. It's
I mean, unless you're trying to breastfeed in the car, I don't know.
I mean, you can find a link for anything. But, you know, I think there is a point to also knowing who you're talking to. And I think that's something that I do feel like, I don't know, I also see as part of this whole puzzle is like, there's sharing your experience, and then there's also understanding who's receiving that and mm-hmm. what headspace are those people in when they're receiving those messages. You know, there's a lot of talk about like, go where your audience are and market to them there. But I always have this feeling of like, if someone was trying to market to me while I'm in the grocery store to try and buy, you know, business coaching, I'm not in the headspace for that. I don't want this. I've not right. asked for this. I'm not in the headspace mentally for those kinds of conversations. So I think there is sort of feeling, getting the temperature of the room you're in and the room you're creating in your business, in your marketing, to make sure that you're bringing like appropriate conversations to that space. You know, I think sharing your lived experience can be great, can be such a great connecting point, but we need to make sure it's still like on topic, roughly, even vaguely. I'll mention something slightly vaguely, but we go to a group therapy for my son, and it's meant to be all about like almost a physical therapy, occupational therapy session for the kids. And it's great that they offer this, you know, France is amazing for public health. So it's like a free health service that we have. And I'm so excited that my son loves it. It's like his favorite appointment of the week. But they sneakily in the back door decided to turn it into group therapy for the parents who did not ask for this, who have showed up to chaperone their child to an appointment. And they talk a lot about things where it's just not an appropriate, you're not in that headspace, it's not an appropriate conversation. You are not in the right place to have probably very important conversations about like your mental health as a parent of kids who have, you know, additional challenges, really important stuff. But when you're not ready for it, when you're not in the right place to receive that kind of information, it just personally makes me bristle, makes me shut down, makes me hate them, like want to resist and repulse that kind of energy because I'm so not in the space to receive it. So I think that's like my lived experience of like probably something great, probably something I do need, but hearing it in the wrong environment makes me turn off and not want it and would never seek it from them because they approach me in the wrong place. Mm. I'm not trying to scare you off from sharing your stories, but you know, I think there's a time and a place for everything.
Well, you know, I said I wouldn't get on my soapbox about this.
Oh, I love being in soapbox.
I think when you're marketing, I tend to, instead of doing the niching down to the client avatar sort of thing, mm-hmm. I talk about niching down on the problem. You know, yeah. What is that transformation people are going to go through in working with you? And so in your example, Michelle, they probably thought, oh, you know, they're here. They need this thing too. Let's, you know, two birds, one stone sort of thing. Let's take care of this. But that wasn't the problem you were going to solve. Problem in air quotes, by the way.
no, definitely a problem in air quotes.
That wasn't your intention for going there. That wasn't mm-hmm. the transformation you were looking for. And you can't force anyone to you know, do anything to better themselves or
to eat your spinach.
You can't force anyone to do anything and then expect them to get really good results out of it.
Mm-hmm. And so
and to be happy with it. Yeah. So when you're marketing something, instead of, you know, focusing so heavily on, well, this is the person, this is where they're going to be, here are their demographics, mm-hmm. you know, think a little more on the psychographics of what they're thinking, what they're going through, but then focus more wholeheartedly on that problem, you know, the pain points yeah. of where they're sitting right now and where they want to be at the end of it, and use that more in your marketing and your sales than anything else. Because if they stopped and thought, okay, well, what are they trying, you know, for you, Michelle, mm-hmm. what is she trying to do right now? It's not, you have a very different mindset, a very different focus than I need to go talk to someone and fix these problems for myself. You're in full on mom mode. Like yeah. I'm doing this for my son. And that is a hard shift to make a lot of times. And if they had presented it maybe in a different way and given you the option, then you could have said, hey, that is a problem I would like to solve too right now. Let's go take care of this and get me out of these pain points at the same time. But giving you that choice would have been better, I think, personally. In my
definitely in a specific example, but also in a general sense, I think that's really good advice that maybe you did sort of find your pool of people, but they're, I don't know, in a Facebook group for, let's say, moms, and you're a mom coach and you want to do life coaching, and you've got these group of moms and you're like, great, I found my people that I want to work with, but they're all there to talk about like finding activities for their kids. They are not going to be very happy when you start trying to coach them on working on like interpersonal, like psychological problems for themselves. And, you know, this can go way broader if you're trying to sell someone a sales strategy, like marketing kind of course, and they're in a group for branding, like they're just not in that headspace. So you potentially could still use that group of people you've gathered and just help walk them through the steps to be ready to receive what you're trying to talk about. You know, you need to help people catch up to where you're at.
Yeah. Well, offer it, put it out there, say, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm solving. This is how I can help you. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling these pain points, if any of this resonates with you, if you see my perspective, if you know, any of that we've talked about through this episode, just put it out there and let them self-identify. Don't tell them what they're feeling. Don't tell them that they need to do something. Don't tell them that they are a particular brand of neurospicy and that's exactly what they're feeling. You share your experiences, what you are offering, and let them come to you.
I think that's a really good way to tie this up. It's basically make sure you're getting people's buy-in and their consent and their opt-in to talk about things, especially if they're not your own lived experience or something that you can identify with yourself. I feel like it's a bit of a rambly episode, but I feel like we touched on some really interesting things and maybe some less shiny kind of topics around marketing, but something that can make or break the difference between a heartfelt marketing effort to be compassionate and thoughtful, really connecting with the people you want it to, and potentially repulsing them and having them feel kind of all sorts of feelings about things you're sharing. And particularly if you're touching on anything, even vaguely sensitive, vaguely personal in your marketing, I really think this is worthwhile, you know, really thinking on, reflecting on. If you are marketing in any of these kind of areas, we'd love to have like a conversation with you. We have a group, we, you know, have our membership. We'd always love to invite you in. But I think these are really important conversations to have and important things to work through if you do want to work with people who you can find by identifying them through these kinds of conversations, through this kind of messaging. I think it's especially important to really make sure you've honed in and workshopped how you're doing that, because the how isn't as important as the what. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna hop off our soapboxes this week and we'll probably be back with something a bit lighter next week, but we're so grateful you joined us. Thank you so much for joining us this week on Marketing Like a Mother. If you found value in the show today and want to support some fellow mompreneurs, we really appreciate a rating and telling a business friend about the show. We'll be back next week with more marketing tips for busy moms with businesses. And until then, take care.